Today is the day we have worked for and waited for a long time, the day when words on paper and abstract concepts about health care and uninsurance turn into real differences in the lives of real people. Beginning 1 week ago today, the Healthy Indiana Plan for the uninsured of our state became available. And in the first week, almost 5,000 Hoosiers have applied. The vast majority are being approved. I just want to tell you two or three stories which are typical. I asked the implementers to let me know the first few names that came out of the machines. Amy's a single mom in Mishawaka, 29 years old. She works at a small insurance agency but has no insurance, but now she will. For $15 a month, she and her two children will be covered. Tiffany's also 29. She's a single mom of three. She lives here in Indianapolis. She will now be covered for the first time for $25 a month. And Agnes is 64 in Fort Wayne, waiting for Medicare to arrive, but she has health care conditions she's been neglecting. And for $12 a month, she now will have the peace of mind of health insurance that I believe is the right of every Hoosier. These three stories are already being joined by thousands more. We're here today to celebrate the launch of the Healthy Indiana Plan, but mainly to try to further spread the word to those who do not have the protection and peace of mind they deserve that here is a product that for which you may well be qualified. And again, with profound thanks to those legislators who helped us create this plan, to all who have brought it into reality and who are implementing it now, I just want to say on behalf of Amy and Agnes and Tiffany and all those others for whom this new protective product is now becoming real, thank you very much. None of those three is here, but Shelley is here, and Shelley also has been approved. Shelley was helped us advocate for this program, and therefore was one of our first applicants. And if you'd like to, Shelley, it's entirely up to you. Well, please do.
Thanks. Hi, I got my insurance card today. I'm very excited. I am a divorced mother of two and lost my insurance with the divorce, so I'm very excited to join my ex and my kids in being insured Hoosiers now. And what else did you want to know?
Tell everybody else to apply too.
Apply too. It was a really easy process. You can do it online. It's fabulous. Thank you,
Shelley,
very much.
Thank you very much. Thank We're you. So happy for you.
Governor, I have a question.
Sure.
Do you think we have it all here on this piece of paper, do you think you could break down who is and who is not eligible to
move on? Yes, those individuals or families at 200% of poverty or less, so that's roughly $40,000 for a family of four, are eligible. You have to have no access to insurance. If you've been declining insurance that was otherwise available, then this is not for you. But it's pretty straightforward. It is meant for low and moderate income Hoosiers who do not have protection today or access to it. We believe it's very innovative. It is taxpayer friendly because we will not take on more exposure than the available funds. This is a self-financing program will provide. But we will have the funds for way over 100,000 Hoosiers and therefore the opportunity to take a huge piece out of the chronically uninsured low and moderate income population of our state.
With 4,500 people having applied so far, right, applying for 130,000, how long is it going to take to get everybody signed up? Can you talk about how people?
You know, we won't know till we know. I think as we huddle over these figures from week one, we believe this is an encouraging sign. About 5,000 in a week. We hope that it will increase as awareness of the program spreads. We have many other tactics in mind. Amy heard about it through a postcard in the mail. Tiffany heard about it through a TV ad that some of us participated in. And we hope that the rate of of application, and therefore a sign-up will increase, but we don't really know what to expect, and we realize it won't just happen automatically. Well, those who are—it's not for those who are available. I'm sorry, eligible for Medicare. Fortunately, the nation has a program for them, and children themselves, in the right economic brackets and so forth, are already eligible for SCHIP and often Medicaid. But there is a large population that has had no opportunity whatsoever, and they are the ones that we tried to craft this plan to go specifically after. And it's just a joy now to see the first real lives being touched by this program that Pat Miller and others worked with us so long on.
So you would say that this is almost filling a gap that wasn't there?
Yes, there was absolutely no program, public or private, that was serving this very large percentage of people, and we tried to shape something that went straight at this area of greatest need. We're also pleased that it's an innovative program. As I like to say, this is health insurance you can afford, health care you can control. Shelley will be in complete control of her Anthem account. She will decide which treatments or to access and which not. The money's hers. Any that's unspent will stay in her account and will grow to protect her more in the future. I hope you'll, I know I can count on you, Shelley, to access the free preventive care that goes with this, reducing the chance of that you'll have health care events in the future because you got your checkups and your tests at the right time. So we believe that the plan is deeply compassionate for the folks who had no access at all, is innovative in the way it is shaped and recognizes the dignity of each person to make their own choices, and also is very taxpayer friendly and does not expose the state to some open-ended obligation that could wind up punishing other programs in the future.
How does this program, we know we can see how it helps the individuals, how does it also help the state?
Yeah. It's a very important point that by helping those without health insurance, we also help everyone who has health insurance today, because when people are uninsured, they do get care in a compassionate society. Often it is the most expensive sort of care. It happens at the emergency room or in some other inefficient place. And then everyone else's premiums are forced up a little bit as the bill is not paid and is handed on. So it is a very important point that although this helps those in immediate need, it will have benefits in lower health care costs for everyone. Probably twice that many more in the target audience I talked about, Mike. That is to say, we're not aiming at the wealthy who could, if they wanted, buy health insurance or pay their own bills. We're not aiming at those who have access to health insurance but for some reason have not chosen to take it. We're not aiming at those who are only temporarily without because they are between jobs, and that's more than you'd think. But there's a very large number, and it's probably approaching 400,000 of in the category I described, without access, low or moderate income, chronically, that is to say over a long term, uncovered. We don't pretend this is a total solution, but it'll make a huge difference if we can get it fully subscribed.
When you say twice, you're saying 260,000?
Something like that.
When does the coverage actually begin?
January 1. It's right there on Shelley's card. And so these first few and apparently a few thousand more will be covered as early as next Tuesday. We just don't know yet. I'm told by the folks at FSSA that a very high percentage are qualifying, but we'll give you more data as it becomes available to us. Well, I don't know, but we just don't know enough yet. It may well be that their income is too high, for instance.
The other nation, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have, the governor asked me that question earlier, and I would have told him.
Good decision.
Yeah. Yeah, he's coming along finally. This is good. It's going to be a good year. He's going to start telling me stuff.
I think I've seen that this program, maybe it's been a few of you, Mitch, this is going to leverage like $1.1 billion in Medicaid money over 5 years.
Yeah.
Is the cigarette tax revenue coming in as expected?
Yes, it is so far. Right. Well, what we have is a new system, actually. It was part of our welfare reform, and up in Marion, there is a single center with the most modern computer technology, and that's why people are being qualified in a few days right now. As far as I know, that's unlikely to change. We'll all learn as we learn, but it's a very modern system. It was part of our welfare reform effort, and it is making for pretty quick turnaround so far. I hope that will remain the case.
What are the promotion efforts involved, and when did that take again?
I'm going to ask for a little help, but obviously we've had television and radio commercials, and there have been direct mail, reaching out through direct mail to people believed to be in the target audience. What am I leaving? We have advocacy groups.
Billboards,
yeah. In addition to the advertising, we believe one of the most effective means is going to be at the community clinics of the state and at emergency rooms and at places where uninsured people tend to go when they have nowhere else to turn. And we hope for a steady flow of people. In other words, when someone presents at a clinic or an emergency room, people there, through the help of our allies, will alert them that they may well be eligible to get hip, as we say.
Governor, how are you, speaking about publications,
yeah,
how are you also making this information known to non-English-speaking persons in Indiana?
Well, I think, again, the advocacy groups, and we have a number of Hispanic organizations, Latino health organizations, who are part of the network, and we're counting on them.
This is being funded by the cigarette tax. Health Finance Commission, which Senator Miller serves on, drafted legislation for next session to do a smoking ban in most public places in Indiana. Previously, you've said you prefer to leave that up to local officials. Would you consider supporting that bill?
Yes, I'll consider it. My views on this haven't changed. Obviously, we're doing everything, including raising the cigarette tax, to discourage smoking in the state. I hope you noticed that smoking rates seem to be trending down, and especially among young people. At the same time, I continue to have a strong preference for home rule, and up to this point, I haven't convinced myself that the state should compel this. One size fits all ban on every community, but I'm open to the question and thinking about it.
Why is that? Because 1992
doesn't have this. We have ban on adults selling tobacco. Mm-hmm. So why does it matter? As I said, I have a bias for home rule and local self-determination. And up to this point, I'm watching as community after community freely makes this choice for itself, and there's some variation too in the nature of the bands that we have, as opposed to one that everyone would have to march to. But I'm listening to it, and if one of my leaders, like Pat Miller or Dennis Cruz or somebody, comes and says we should do this, they probably have a good chance of changing my mind. Well, it's 4.5% of income, so I guess you'd get up to, let's say, for a couple, and it depends on how big the family and so forth, but 4.5% of income, then it's a sliding scale that goes down from there. So it's probably the most affordable sort of health insurance that I'm aware of.
For Hoosiers who live in border counties, their closest provider might actually be a great
state line. If there is a medical claim that they have went out of state, why would that be covered?
Interesting question. I mean, let me make one comment, and then I'm going to ask somebody who has more details to speak to it, Brian. Remember that the account, unless it's exhausted, is under the complete control of the policyholder. And so as far as I know, would be available for use at the provider of his or her choice. But does somebody have an answer to the out-of-state issue?
I'm with Anthem, and we have contracted providers all around the state. We have Puget Healthwise also, and we have providers contracted in Puget
Healthwise. We're also paying Medicare. One of the key pieces of this program is we're paying Medicare, not Medicaid rates, so getting providers has not been difficult for us. And so we don't believe there'll be any problem with folks outside of the community receiving care. Indiana is a net importer of patients, by the way, not a net exporter. Though in the few parts, that's not true across the state, but as a general rule, we import more patients than we export.
I have a question for Shelley. I don't know if you've got the microphone. Can you share with us just a little bit of your story? What did you used to do for health care before this plan was built? Did you just not do it? Or?
Yeah, I've gone about a year now since the divorce without any health care. Haven't got my asthma medicine, for instance. I've lived with a cataract in one eye, so I can't see out of this eye. It's been about 8 months of that, so I'm really excited to be able to see this half of my classroom next semester when I teach. I'm an adjunct at a community college. So, so much of our economy depends on part-time workers and people who can't get insurance through their work. We're working our tushes off, but we can't even buy the insurance that our full-time coworkers can buy. I taught 7 classes last semester, for example, so that was a huge class load, and all the students knew if they wanted to get by with anything to sit on this side of the class, so I couldn't see anything. They told me that at the end of the semester. I've pretty much gone without.
What did you do when, like, kids are always getting sick and things?
My children are covered by their ex, by my ex, by their dad. So with the divorce, the children keep coverage, but the person who doesn't carry the full-time job, if there's a, you know, I had stayed home with my kids when they were small, and then I went back to work part-time, and now I'm full-time, but still count as a part-time employee as far as benefits go. So my kids are fine. Thank you.
Thanks, Jillian.
Yeah. Watching this, is there any hope that this could be a model for folks, you know,
yeah,
especially as health insurance is becoming a major part of the debate?
Right. As we always do on any subject, we look closely at our 49 competitors, see if there's a good idea we could borrow or a mistake we could avoid. There have been a lot of mistakes made in other states trying their best to deal with this problem. Some have really, for instance, run into tremendous fiscal exposure by having an open-ended program. Some put on a lot of mandates and made the coverage much more expensive than it needed to be. And so we tried to learn from those. It's for others to decide if this is a model or not. I will tell you we're getting a lot of inquiries because ours is an innovative program. It really does give control to the patient, to the client, to the policyholder, for instance. And we believe it's going to work well for Indiana, but we're all going to learn together. And I'm very, very hopeful from the start so far. A lot of thought went into this from a lot of people. We listened to everybody, and as your question contemplates, looked very carefully at what had been tried elsewhere. Principally, I think that it is in the power account, which stands for personal wellness and responsibility. So Shelley and all those thousands to follow do have an account and a debit card. It's totally under their control. They can pick the time and the place, and in most cases, the provider of their choice. And secondly, that they have total protection above that amount. If there should be an event that exhausts the account, they have the complete peace of mind of protection beyond that. And the third thing, which we thought was very important, was the free preventive care up to $500 per person to encourage people not to scrimp, not to postpone. Get that physical, get that pap smear or mammogram or prostate exam, whatever applies to you, in hopes of heading off problems before they arrive. These are wrinkles that you will not find, to my knowledge, in other states. And we think that, we hope we've learned from, again, from observing what has happened elsewhere. Thank you all for coming. Thank you very much.